Well, good morning to y'all. Still seeing some colors out there. Last year, I remember their colors were so much brighter, and then as I drive up, I'm still hunting and stuff like that. And there's still some bright colors, but it's kind of a little bit less than last year. But it's still beautiful to me, especially for somebody who is, grew up in Southern California, where there wasn't much color except for the people. Lots of different colored people, stuff like that, which was is beautiful as well, actually, meeting a lot of people from different areas of the world. Oops, I forgot my clicker here, Nolan. Is that up or not? You're working on it? What happened to it? Is it hiding on you? There we go. Oop, I went too far. There we go. All right, thank you. All right, well, today, as I'm reading these scriptures and just going over, just what Ruth mentioned there when she was going out in the field, she was hoping to find favor, all right? She's trying to find favor in the eyes of someone. And I just, for some reason, like I said, my mind, and I guess I'm a movie guy. I grew up watching TV and movies and all that stuff. Well, Finding Nemo, I always think about this story, Finding Nemo, because it was a love story. Did you know that? It's a love story. It's a love story between a father fish and a son who is a fish as well. And he had to go, and he got lost in the deep ocean, right? And, his father was going, well, where is he? So he had to take this long journey, going through lots of obstacles, meeting a lot of weird things, a lot of dangers. Could have quit. Could have just said, this is it. I just can't go on anymore. I'm turning around home. But he didn't. He kept on going and going until the time where he finally found his son. And what a celebration that must have, that was between them to be able to be together again. And the same thing for our Father. He's seeking, everybody. He seeks everybody out. He's always working. He's knocking on hearts of Christians and non-Christians alike, to draw us close to him, to draw us into a relationship with him. And he doesn't give up. He doesn't stop. He doesn't surrender, as we learn. And he keeps going, and he finds his people. So this is if you look at Ruth, it's kind of an unusual love story, kind of like something like what you see here. And there's a lot of other weird things too out there, especially in an animal world, that they would have friends and take care of one another. And sometimes I see cats with little birds. I'm sitting there going, whoa. If they were one of my cats when I was growing up, those things would have been gobbled up, but they're, being friends. And so what? Here's a dog and a turtle and a deer and a little cat. You're going, what? Okay, this is strange. Well, this story of Ruth and Naomi, it's unusual. It's a daughter-in-law's love for her mother-in-law. Now, I don't know about you and that this is your own family and stuff like that. Sometimes that's not so easy. Right, but then sometimes it is, depending on personalities and things like that. This is just something a little bit different. And something to add into that, they were not of the same nation. She was a Moabite, and she was an Israelite. All right, they were a kindred. Okay, they were like cousins. Nationality, nope. Ethnicity, different ethnicity coming from different people, and of course religion. Ruth grew up in Moab, where they worshipped idols and the god of Chemosh, right, and other things as well. And while Naomi grew up with the god of the creator of the universe, the creator of heaven and earth. So it's just an interesting thing, and all this, and what Ruth's saying, in whose eyes I find favor. She goes out. When we are seeking favor, there's treasures out there, depending on whose favor we're seeking, right? And when we're seeking God's favor, he has these treasures beyond measure for us. And he shows that. He shows that to Ruth and Naomi as time goes on as well. We're just going to get a little tidbit of this today, just kind of setting this all up. Let's pray before we keep on going on. Father, we just give this to you. We ask that your Holy Spirit would just open our hearts and minds to the truths and wonders of who you are and what you will have us to do, Lord, what you're teaching us personally in our own walk with you, things to remind us, things to teach us anew, and to challenge us to go forth in our walk with you, to trust and obey you. We just praise you. Bless this time, we pray. And may you receive all the honor and glory in it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So Ruth has a choice. I don't know if you've ever seen a movie, Sophia's Choice. It was kind of a harsh movie where she had, I think they were in a shipwreck or something like that, and she had to make a choice between one son and another, right? Was that it? No? What was it?
The Holocaust.
The Holocaust. Oh, that was the one. Maybe I'm remembering some other story. But really, there's a choice to be made between who you're going to save, right? Who is she going to... Well, Ruth has got a very difficult choice here. All right, she's in this foreign country. There's a lot of things going through her mind. You know, she's this with her mother-in-law, who she loved very much, and she's wondering what to do next. You know, I can sit here and just wait for people to show compassion on us, and maybe from the, you know, the relatives and stuff of that, and the family would give them, help them out with food and things like that so they can survive. They're really in a desperate survival mode at this time. And all of this, you know, so we have to remember that Ruth was just, she was a foreigner in a country, you know, Moab and Israel, they were, you know, not such good relationship going on between those two countries at this time. And also, you know, she had no male protector, and she's a young woman, all right? So all those are safety issues in that culture, to go out alone, to take a step outside of the safety of a home. And she could have had a different attitude and all that too. She could have been adding these things up and go, shoot, I should have went with Orpah. I should have turned around and went back home. You know, much better than what I'm facing now, and this isn't looking very good. Not looking good at all. You know, I don't feel very safe. I don't feel very and wanted, accepted. You know, this is where I'm in Israel. You know, they're not really too accepting of people, especially foreigners. You know, but she could have had that attitude. She could have had an attitude like, hey, Mom, what are you going to do for me now? How are you going to provide for me? Look at what we're doing. What are you going to do next? She could have had that attitude. But she didn't. She didn't. Because of her love for her mother-in-law. And this love was not just a love that originated from man as much. Because I think there's something deeper, and we're going to get into that a lot more today too. This love is a different kind of love. This is a love that conquers all. There's only one source of that type of love, and we'll talk more about that today. So in her decisions, and I think this is something I'm learning, I we're talking about birthdays. I think I'm 39 now, and I could really have learned this a long time ago, all right? Because there's a lot of decisions. We make decisions all the time, all the time. And so usually when you're making, you know, common sense is this. Use your common sense in your decisions, please. I see a lot of people making decisions, and they're not using common sense at all. They're using pride. All right. Oh, I could do this. I got it. Not really. But they just say that. We say that. So careful thought when you're making a decision, especially if it's a bigger decision, if it's a decision that you're not making right off the bat, you know, you have a careful thought and you got some think about a sensible action in all of this. You know, here, I don't know how many times have I been in this spot, this little boy, looking at that candy shop, all that. So, oh, yeah, David's looking at me, a big smile. He knows he's been there, too. Don, I know you don't care. You just like venison, so we're not worried about you. But they do have different types of venison, right? Popcorn venison, things like that, you know, caramel venison. That's good. All right, so this stuff has a lot of stuff, you know. You know, you're sitting there going, You know what I do when I come into one of those stores and I'm sitting there going, oh my, I'm just overwhelmed. All these smells and colors and chocolate this and chocolate that and whatever. I usually, what happens to me is this, oh, that looks good, that looks good. And then all of a sudden I just say, but what do I really like? You know, what have I had before that I really like? And I usually go back to the one I, with all those shoes, I just keep pretty much choosing the same one. Once in a while, maybe I'll do something a little different, but I usually go back to that, the one, the mainstay, because you know you're going to like it, right? So, you know, same thing here, common sense, right? And I tell you something, this last part, I guess I could have learned a lot from this. Listen to advice of those who love you most. Do you do that? Have you done that? I know I haven't. I know I've sat there, I listened to my own, my mom or dad said, oh, or somebody else, you know, said, or even one of my brothers said, hey, you should do this. I'd go, I know better than you. Actually, they knew better than me. There's so many marriages out there that we know that if they listened to a loved one, it wouldn't have happened, and they would not have had to go through such a hard marriage that usually gets broken. You know, things, big decisions, right? Like marriage, I think that's the second biggest decision besides following Christ or not. That's number one. Marriage, I think, really, I believe is number two. So all these things, you know, these things to remember. So Ruth, in a predicament that she was in, you know, she had to have courage to take the step out, to go to the harvest field. She asked her mother-in-law, Naomi, hey, she was really asking for permission, okay? I want to go out in the fields. So if Naomi just said, psh, don't do that, I got this, or something else is over here, there's something else for you. But Naomi said, yeah, go into the fields. You know, she didn't have a protector, right? But in our eyes, she didn't, all right? But there's somebody working behind the scenes that we'll learn about all that. And of course, she wasn't sure where she was going. I mean, just kind of like Abraham, when God called him out of Ur, you know, he said, go, you know, go. And he's going, go, you know, leave my, you know, snowshoe. You know, I've lived here all my life. Go to Texas? I don't know about that. What's that like? California? What? Tough thing. But he went, and she still went, even though she didn't know what field. She was just going to go to a field, what she knew. She had no idea. Well, 2 Thessalonians, I've been reading in my daily Bible readings and stuff of that. This just popped up, and I think this is what, you know, her, shows her integrity. Okay, this is for the people back then, probably even back in those days. Of course, this was, you know, further New Testament time. But if a man will not work, he shall not eat type attitude. So there is a hard work ethic. And, you know, Pennsylvanians have a hard work ethic. When we were over in Thailand, whenever we had somebody from Pennsylvania come, you know, a group, we knew that whatever was supposed to happen, if they were going to build something, paint something, go and, you know, teach something, you know, medical teams, whatever, they were on it, okay? They were all business. You know, we had fun in between, but they were all business. They got it done. But people from California, churches from California come. Now, I really understand them. I know their hearts. They like to play. So they had to play, and then they'd do a little work, and then they'd play again. So you knew when they came, there'd just be a little bit of work and a lot of play. And I enjoyed that too. So you just had to kind of, you know, roll with it. But that was the main thing. But the work ethic is there. And something I really believe that Ruth was learning from Naomi. Remember now, Naomi is the model. Okay, from the beginning, from where her son married Ruth, Naomi was praying. She was praising God, singing to God through the times with her husband passed away, or her sons passed away. She was calling out to her God. And Ruth saw this. And I believe that her heart was so changed that her Naaman's God became her God. Now she could talk to him and understand that he's a real live God that she can talk to and give her life to and know that he'll answer. And so she can commit to the Lord whatever she's going to do. And her plans will succeed. I believe that she did that. Maybe she did that on her own. Maybe it was between her and Naomi. Maybe they prayed that together. But I believe that's something that they did. And that's something we should be doing. So in all of this, you know, God is behind the scenes. You know, it's handiwork. You got the brokenness of humans, you know, brokenness of Naomi and Ruth. They're really in a, you know, desperate situation. You know, it doesn't look like anything, no, hardly any hope at all. You know, we know that we saw a little bit of scene change with the harvest coming, so there's a little bit of hope starting to shimmer, you know, out of the darkness, to shine out of that darkness. You know, God, in all of the brokenness, look at the beauty that he creates. That's God. That's our God. He'll use our bitterness. He'll use our, in all of our bitterness and all of our emptiness and desperation, he's working and he's making something more beautiful than we can ever ask for or imagine. If we trust in him, if we decide to follow him. So he's working quietly, and here it is, that one verse, that one little sentence there. Naomi said to her, "Go ahead, my daughter." So she went out and began to glean in the harvest field. As it turned out, it's kind of like, oh, happenstance, you know, something. Oh, by luck, she just walked into this field. No. God is orchestrating all of this. He knows her heart. He knows how to take care of these, his people who have devoted their lives to him. And so he led her to the field of Boaz, who was a relative. And we'll learn more about that next week. All right. But this, and all of this, God is increasing faith. It takes faith, right, to take the step that Naomi did. You know, if she really believed God, that he really is God, she's going to get it. I'm going to go out to the fields. If she did not, she'd stay in home. She'd stay home. She wouldn't have faith enough to go out, the courage to go out. You know, her life was in danger out there. It's rather amazing how God takes care of us. In fact, looking at the handiwork, and it's just, you know, she says, "I'm looking for favor. I want to find favor." Well, actually, what she found was undeserved favor, and they call it grace, which we all have received from Christ alone. That faith, that undeserved favor. We do not deserve being saved. I don't know about you, but I know me, looking at my life, I wouldn't make it into heaven. Somebody would just step up and just, you know, I'm approaching them, going up there, and they'd go, "Who are you? And what do you got?" And they'd look at my life and say, "Sorry, guy, you're wanting. Get out of here." No, it is by grace we have been saved. This undeserved favor in our Father's eyes. He loves us so much that he, through Christ, he, everything is just wiped out, and we can start anew. And righteous, being righteous, that means being right with God. And that, you know what? The fruit of righteousness is what? It's peace. And the effects of righteousness is quietness and confidence forever. If you have that, God is the only one that really can give us that peace. So you know you're right with God. So when the world is falling apart all around you, your health is falling apart, your job is gone, your relationships are being blown apart for whatever reason, or you come to a desperate, you know, a desperate situation like Naomi and Ruth, God is there. His grace abounding, and he's working in all of this to make something even more beautiful. Maybe not for you, Maybe it's for another Ruth that needs to be touched. But he's working, and he makes these things beautiful by his grace, his undeserved favor for us. Because that's his heart. People are always looking, what is the will of God? Well, that's one of them. He wants all to be saved, right? And come to the knowledge of the truth. None to perish, but to repent. So he shows this type of love for people, you know, in desperate situations like Naomi and Ruth right now. They're desolate, right? They're jobless. They don't have any male protector. They have no one out there helping them. Well, he put this provision in a long time ago for just this reason, right? When you are harvesting, he's talking to the harvesters of the field, like a Boaz, right? He says, when you're harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back and get it. Leave it for the alien. And that's what Ruth is. The fatherless, well, she's kind of in that respect. And the widow, you know, talk about Naomi. So that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. So there's a blessing to show mercy to the poor. So God has made provision already. And in Proverbs 16, it's written, you know, right here, the Lord works out everything for his own ends, his own purpose. Even the wicked for the day of disaster. He has a plan, and he's able to, even in our, when we blow a decision, he's able to redeem it. He's able to redeem that as we continue to decide to follow and trust and obey him. And he works beautiful things in our lives that we wouldn't be able to do on our own. So when we take a closer look, you know, what's going on? You know, right? Ruth's life has been transformed. Really transformed. You know, if you look at life, you go back, you know, in a period of Judges, a guy named Gideon, yeah, Gideon, who's sleeping right now. I just woke him up because I called his name. You know, he was a nobody, right, Gideon? But hey, God, you know, gave him what he needed, the Holy Spirit, and other people like Samson, other greats of that time. The Holy Spirit was given for that time to lead the nation, to do things that were impossible. Well, I truly believe God gave Ruth faith by the power of the Holy Spirit, not man-made faith, but the Spirit himself working in her life. And as I was reading again, I couldn't help, I was going, wow, this is interesting because the gospel came to you. This is Paul talking to the people of the church of Thessalonia. And he says, because the gospel came to you, not simply with words, okay, they spoke them, but not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. I tell you something, if Ruth did not have deep conviction, nobody does. If Abraham did not have deep conviction, nobody does. If Moses did not have deep conviction, nobody does. Ruth had a Holy Spirit empowered deep conviction that made her leave her home and Moab to go to a foreign country and be in destitution. That is weird. I don't think I'd ever choose that on my own. She did because it wasn't just of her. There was something going on there. And that we'll talk more about later as well as the messages come from this book. And listen to this. I kind of made this a little bit briefer, but you became imitators of us, talking about the apostles, right, and of the Lord, in spite of severe suffering. The Thessalonians were going through some persecution. But their lives were changing. You welcome the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. And you became a model to all the believers. There you go. See, you're going through suffering now. Something's happening. Things are tough. But you're a model how you respond, how you put your faith and who, and put your value where. It's that you're being a model. You're imitating something. What are you imitating when you're going down, when things aren't going right? The world? Your family? Or are you imitating the one who created all things, who's given us riches beyond measure? They chose to model Christ and their suffering. And all these others saw this. Oh, they're suffering so bad. These guys are getting killed. These guys are being put in prison. These guys are being ostracized from family. They're still standing firm in Christ? Oh. You know, World War II hit. You know what happened. Civil War hit. You know what happened. These people saw others going out there and dying on the fields of battle. I got to do it too. I got to get out there too. They're putting themselves in danger. And how many young men and women did we lose because of that decision? But they had a deep conviction. These guys are modeling this. I got to follow it. And this is a powerful one. And your faith in God has become known everywhere. Not just in little towns here and there and a little bit, but everywhere that Christ's name is known. They tell, and listen to this, they tell how you turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Is that Ruth or not? That's Ruth. She's an idol worshiper. She turned to God. She put her idols away and followed the true living God. Deep conviction makes you a model that Christ can use to be kingdom builders. So action plan, decision making, yeah, the basics, right? Common sense. You know, if you're in the Word, you're going to have a little bit more common sense, right? You're not going just by the world's learning of the knowledge of the world, but when you're in the Word of God, you're going to have God's heart. And in that, it's going to help you make better decisions. And praying certainly helps. Common sense, yes. Following advice of those who love you most. Listen to them. Listen to them. And with all this, you should be able to make a pretty good decision and go. Go out in the fields. Trust God. Action plan, you know, Naomi was different. But her mother-in-law loved her. And we'll learn that others loved her too. And did things that were really kind of, you know, not really correct. As sometimes as you think about it in those times. Or a little bit suspicious sometimes. But no matter the differences, no matter the language, the nation, the color, the skin, the socioeconomic status of what they're wearing, what cars they drive, what jobs they have, all these differences don't matter in God's eyes. So we know it doesn't matter to our eyes. We love because He loves. And we should make time for these people, new people that come into our church. Make time for them. Talk to them. Invite them into your home. Have lunch. Have dinner with them. Do things together. Bring them in. You know, it was Chris. Sorry, Chris, I didn't even tell you this, but I'm going to put you on the spot here. You know, I was working on the funeral service, the DVD or whatever we're doing there. And Chris wrote a little blurb there about Stanley. What Stanley did for him as he was new. I don't know how long have you guys been in the church, or Chris, here?
I met Jill in 95, so visiting before that dated 5 years, so
okay.
It's been a while.
So it's been a while. So, and Stanley saw Chris, and Chris said that, you know, he was new to the area, a new guy, you know, a new person, and Stanley would just, every week, right, come and talk with him, spend time with him. Stanley, a model to follow, right? Impacts our lives to 20 years plus after. That's what it's about. Next Ruth. Next Ruth, right? Next Chris. That's what it's about. All of our decisions, all we're following, all we're doing, the action plan, put it into action. Daily words and actions. Being courageous, being strong and courageous. As we're, you know, you take that leap of faith and you're falling, but you know, truthfully, God's got you. As you step out in faith and follow Him. And all of that we're doing, being imitators of Christ. And all of this here, this I believe, this is something that just stuck to my heart. It says, and I can hear Ruth just saying this. I can hear Stanley saying this. You know, I run in a path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. There's only one person in this whole universe that can set our hearts free from fear, from sin, from this world, from damnation and hell. That's Christ Jesus our Lord. That's it. And He loves us so much that He gave His one and only Son. Let's pray. Father God, again, we come before You amazed at who You are, Your great love for us, the hope that we have in You. Father, thank You for Your words. Thank You for the story of Ruth that so encourages us and challenges us to live for You, to be those models in how we make decisions and how we live our lives so we can be a blessing to other Ruths that You're bringing up. It's not all about us. Sometimes we have to suffer and go through all times so a Ruth will pop up. Yes, Father, help us remember this and take this with us day to day and be a blessing to others in it. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ and all of His people say, Amen. Amen.